Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Send us an email if you'd like to at comments@afr.net. We are also live video streaming this show at Facebook. So go to Facebook, type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show live there. Walker's also posting the stories that we're talking about, so you can read them firsthand. What did you post? What's the last story you posted on there?
Let's see. I posted about Patriot Academy, and then I posted about the Iowa Heartbeat Bill.
Okay. Yes, the Iowa Heartbeat Bill, which passed and was signed into law by their governor, is a great, great thing that's happened in the last few days as we try to protect innocent, unborn human life in this country and moving towards a day when all babies, unborn babies, are protected. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. That's what we're going to keep working towards as all pro-life people are. Why? Because God cares. And God cares about innocent. God makes us. Mm-hmm. God's our maker. And so when life begins at conception, this is a biological absolute truth that everybody knows. Life begins at conception. If it doesn't begin at conception, when does it begin?
Right.
It begins at conception and isn't over till natural death. So, till we die. So, and life is sacred in the eyes of God according to the Bible. So, therefore, you want to know why are Christians, right? Christians should be pro-life from the moment of conception is because that's a way, that's how God tells us to believe. And so that's what we're working towards, is a day in America when there are no more abortions. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio, Tim and Walker. Steve Jordahl is with us now from our news team at American Family Radio News. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Where is the Pompeo flight with the three American hostages?
They were wheels down in Tokyo about 2 hours ago. I don't know how long that layover is going to be. They're probably still there getting ready to take the long trek back to Washington,
D.C. Those who don't know, who haven't heard, what's happened the last 12 hours?
Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, took another trip to North Korea to settle the time and place and date where he and where President Trump and Kim Jong-un are going to have their sit down and their negotiation to denuclearize the peninsula. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, President Trump tweets that three detained American hostages in North Korea are coming home. They're on the plane.
With Secretary of State Pompeo,
yes.
You know, one of the interesting things about this, I was reading the Fox News website. They said that the New York Times, Steve, rips AWOL Pompeo.
Yeah, so I saw that.
Yesterday, the New York Times goes after Secretary of State Pompeo because he's not in D.C. And not available when President Trump is canceling the Iran deal. So they're all upset about that. New York Times at Pompeo, not knowing that he's in North Korea freeing three Americans and bringing them home. So it just goes to show you, again, the liberal news media in this country, not all of them, but the vast majority of them have what's called Trump derangement syndrome.
Yep.
And that is, they can't see any clearly anymore. They can't be objective anymore. They just know that they hate President Trump and they hate the people who work for him. And quite frankly, they wouldn't say this, but they hate the people who voted for him. Well, Hillary Clinton said it out loud, deplorables.
Yeah, yep.
The basket of deplorables that beat her in the national presidential, and well, every presidential election is national, but the presidential election was so the liberal media, they just cannot bring themselves to praise President Trump for anything, or anybody that works for him.
No, they're brutal.
So, and I will say this, Jake Tapper, is that his name from CNN?
Yep.
He had a nice tweet earlier today, and I think he was congratulating. Well, he said great news. I don't know if he congratulated President Trump or not, but he said great news. But I fully expect Nancy Pelosi to come out this afternoon and say, you know, we are opposed to the three hostages being released and flying on a U.S. plane. And we are going to have a schedule a vote on this.
That site.
What site?
At Andrews Air Force Base in the wee hours of tomorrow morning is going to be a historic site. President Trump in the middle of the night greeting three.
Yeah, President Trump's going to be out there at 2 a.m. to meet them, right?
Yes.
Long-term hostages, too. Their names are Kim Hak Song. The last name is all Kim. They are not related to each other, nor are they related to Kim Jong-un. But Kim Hak Song, who has been held since May of 2017, he is a pastor and a missionary. Kim Sang-duk, also known as Tony Kim, who has...
Kims are kind of like Johnson.
It is. It's like Jones or something there.
Yeah.
And then Kim Dong-chul,
who
is detained in 2015.
Wow.
Sentenced to 10 years of hard labor.
KIM. Well, congratulations. I'm so happy. We're so happy for their families. And congratulations to the president and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State. We're pulling this off.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly hope and pray that they will reach some kind of an agreement that will secure the Korean Peninsula and free it from potential nuclear weapons, which at least for that, you know, there's two major crises in the world right now. One is North Korea. I'm talking about militarily.
Right.
And for world security.
Right.
North Korea.
Uh-huh.
And Iran.
Right. And developments on each front, by the way. North Korea, we just talked about. They have said, although the White House has not yet made it public, they have set a time and a place, the president says, for the meeting. Things look to be moving ahead very well there. In Iran, Iran did not take President Trump's pulling out of the nuclear deal well at all. I think
really?
I heard you talking with Fred about them burning the flag on the floor of the Iran Council
Chambers. Well, they were burning a picture of the flag.
Picture of a flag. The picture had a flag and footprints across the flag and everything. But Israel, taking no chance here, launched a missile silo over into Syria at some places that Iran was involved on the announcement of the pullout, and because they had heard that Iran and Syria and the multiple groups that are opposing Israel in Syria have massed troops at the border, they believe an invasion may be imminent from Hamas and from Iranian-backed Syrian rebel forces, or the Assad regime. You just never know what side everybody's on. So Israel has called up reserve troops from their intelligence and their air defense. So they're getting ready. Things are hot and tense right now in Israel.
One thing you can say is Israel does not play games.
No.
Militarily?
No. Well, they can't afford to. They're not here.
Right. Because they're in such a small
region. A small country, and they're surrounded by enemies. And so I will say this, though. Regarding that, they're not surrounded by enemies any longer in the sense that they're openly hostile. Jordan has Israel and Jordan have a very good working relationship, very peaceful relationship. Egypt and Israel, getting along fine.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Egypt asked the Israeli Air Force in to do some bombing against the terrorist recently.
And this is the reason why I think you're seeing that. And Saudi Arabia is the other
same
country
thing.
You probably
good relationship, the improving relationship with Saudi Arabia.
And the common thing that they have in common is the need to wipe out terror networks like Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
Yeah, because they're going after the Egyptian government just like they're going after
anybody who's
Israel.
Not as radical as
Right. Our Saudis are fighting
Saudi Arabia
this thing too.
Saudi Arabia is modernizing, and Egypt, of course, with Mubarak, I think, way back in the day. and Anwar Sadat, who was killed over this peace.
So, but the two main pressure points that the Israelis have to watch, and that is Hamas in the south, that is Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
They deal with those people every day.
The Palestinian uprisings, yes.
Yeah, and but I think they can handle that. I mean, the Hezbollah in the north, which is an Iranian proxy, Iranian proxy. That's another thing that they have to watch for. But anyway,
I would add a third. From a diplomatic perspective, they are being pressured heavily by the UN, which is very anti-Israel in everything they do.
Yeah. So anyway, what's going on in Washington, D.C. in the Senate? Is this the Senate or the House?
It is Senate. The Senate is confirming or is having hearings to see if they want to confirm Gina Haspel, H-A-S-P-E-L. She is President Trump's nominee to head the CIA after he took Mike Pompeo and made him Secretary of State. That opened up that position. So she is up on the dais right now talking to the Senate committee. So what they're concerned about, or at least what Democrats are saying they're concerned about with this, is that she was on her way up the CIA ladder in the middle of the whole enhanced investigation. Some people call it terror expose. If you remember when waterboarding was all the word that everybody was talking about, I'd say, 6 years ago or so? And so she is being asked questions about that. There's two lines of questioning. Almost every Democrat, and I think a couple Republicans, I haven't been able to follow it moment by moment, have asked her about what her stance is on terrorism. But the resistance is out in force. The resistance is out. I wanted to play you just a sound moment from her her testimony when somebody got out from the crowd and started protesting. This is cut nine.
It is hugely important.
Capitol Police, please remove her.
Bloody Gina! Bloody Gina! Bloody Gina! Bloody Gina! You are a torturer! Bloody Gina!
Bloody Gina, right.
So, and then a little pause I left, and then they just picked up right as if they didn't see it. But yeah, she was saying, the protester was saying, Bloody Gina, because blood on her hands for torture.
Who'd she torture?
Well, she didn't torture anybody, and in fact, she says that she was not even read in on the enhanced interrogation until a couple years after it had been an issue. Mm-hmm. So she never really, and she has answered every time she's been asked, "No, I do not believe that torture works. I do not believe we will not be using torture
works."
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Hey, that's what she had to say to get nominated.
Well, that's, don't kid ourselves. Torture works, or it wouldn't have been used for thousands of years. It works.
I will tell
you. But we, the U.S., we the idea of torturing people is against our values.
Bodily torture.
Physically bodily torture somebody is against our values. That is true. However, there are other techniques that can be used to get the information you want that are just as effective, I guess have been proven so, that may be considered mental or emotional torture that don't physically threaten your life, such as waterboarding, for example.
Right.
And I don't – so this – is that what this person who's screaming out there in the audience, is that what she's referring to?
She's referring – well, waterboarding does not result in blood. There are other techniques maybe they use, or maybe that's just what the protester – that's a nickname that she's earned because of – her supposed or alleged
or non-existent. She's a professional protester?
Yeah, well, you know, the resistance.
They can shout things. Doesn't mean it's true.
Right. The general population, if you ask somebody in power right now, does torture work, the politically correct answer is no.
Yeah.
And there are people who have produced some evidence that says maybe
not. You start
not.
Cutting somebody's fingers off one at a time. They're going to tell you everything you want them to tell you. So please, let's don't say torture doesn't work. If you want to say it's against our values,
right?
I agree with that, and I'm not for that. Although if it was my family member at risk, I wouldn't care what you were doing.
Well, the other thing to
a terrorist to get the information we needed,
right?
But
the other thing that they're saying is, of course, that when you ask them about specific cases, what about catching Sheikh Khalid Muhammad or any of these other places, the information they get, they said, well, yes, we did get valuable information from enhanced techniques. So that's the one angle on the resistance. The other angle that she's getting, and this is from House or Senate Democrats, is they are trying every way to paint President Trump as ignorant and malfeasant and awful.
Really?
Yes.
You
as
notice
is
this?
As we
you
see.
You know about this, Walker?
It is new.
Breaking news. Do you have a clip of this?
I do. Okay. This is Virginia Senator Mark Warner.
Uh-huh.
He's asking Gina
Democrat.
Haspel a question. Democrat Mark Warner from Virginia.
Can I comment after this?
You may. Let's listen to what he has to say. Got eight.
Ask you to do something that you find morally objectionable. Even if there is an OLC opinion,
would President
what will you
Trump
do? Will you carry that out, that option, and that order, or not? I mean, we're entrusting you in a very different position.
Set that up again, because I think people.
Okay, yeah. So maybe I cut it wrong, Brent. I'm not sure. But the first thing she's asking, he asks her about if President Trump gives her an illegal or immoral order, anything to make sure that President Trump is linked to that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
If this president asks you to do something that you find morally objectionable, even if there is an OLC opinion, what will you do? Will you carry that out, that option, that order, or not? I mean, we're entrusting you in a very different position if you're confirmed. I just need to know what your
Senator,
response to that would be.
My moral compass is strong. I would not allow CIA to undertake activity that I thought was immoral. Even if it was technically legal, I would absolutely not permit it.
So you would not follow the order if you felt it was?
No.
OLC here is Office of Legal Counsel if it's illegal.
Yeah, I was listening to that live this morning, and I wanted to fly to D.C. in a time machine and be there instantaneously. And I wanted to speak on behalf of Ms. Haspel. Which I'm not saying that she's not smart, talented, and has much more qualifications than I'll ever have in my entire life, but she totally fumbled that.
Yeah.
And when I say that, she said, basically, I will disobey a legal order from the President of the United States. She testified that.
If I view it as immoral.
Yeah. Yeah. She testified
so what
that.
What should her answer have been?
Here's what her answer should have been. If in a perfect world, here's what her answer would have been. Mr. Warner, Senator Warner, my job is to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States and to follow legal and lawful orders from the President of the United States. If those orders are lawful, I will implement them. If they are immoral but yet lawful, I will still implement them. And if you view lawful things as immoral, then, Senator, you should present legislation to change the law.
Right.
End of question.
But I'm duty-bound.
I'm duty-bound to carry out the orders of the president.
Right.
Lawful orders of the president.
That's a wonderful answer, probably a correct answer, and it will get her unconfirmed. It will not confirm her.
Probably.
Do you think she'll be confirmed?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I think it's going to be a majority vote, and I think she's got pretty good.
You know, this whole waterboarding thing.
This is for the CIA position, which Mike Pompeo left to head up the secretary.
Yes.
To be Secretary of State. So this is she was the second in command at the CIA.
I think she
under Mike Pompeo.
Or as Fred would say, 2IC.
Yeah.
Now there's division in conservative ranks about her.
Yeah.
I know Sandy Rios in the morning, Sandy's head guest on, who don't particularly care for her. But President Trump and I guess Mike Pompeo are complimentary of her. So, you know.
It's a majority vote, and I think that they can wrangle the
51 president's call.
Senators to.
It's the president's call, you know, on that kind of thing.
And
CIA.
He's responsible for her nomination.
CIA should be apolitical, really. I mean, they're in the business of protecting our country from a secretive standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out information, preventing things, dealing with things that are out of sight but have to be dealt with on behalf of U.S. government, and so it shouldn't be political.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Our website is AFR.net. You can download our app, American Family Radio app, on your smartphone or your iPad or your other similar type device. You can download that in 60 seconds and listen to us anywhere in the world, clear as a bell, as long as you have high-speed internet. So as thousands and thousands of people listen to us on the app, please take advantage of that. Steve Jordahl is with us this half hour, as he is normally Monday through Thursday. And Steve, continue on. What do you got now?
The Mormons have booted the Boy Scouts.
Have they now?
Yes, they have. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as they call themselves, has ended its relationship with the Boy Scouts. They are pulling out approximately 470,000 boys from the organization, which is a pretty good chunk of the it's a double-digit percentage of troops are affiliated.
Why are they doing that?
Well, they say they've had this in a while. The latest, of course, offense from the Boy Scouts is that they're no longer Boy Scouts. They're just calling themselves Scouts BSA, which stands for, I guess, Boy Scouts of America. But they are allowing girls. And the Mormon Church is upset with that. And I think they may have started this process of looking into forming their own, which is what they're going to do. They're not going to send their kids to Trail Life, unfortunately, which would be a good idea, but
well, Trail Life, I think, is explicitly evangelical.
Maybe,
maybe Catholics are part of that too. Trail. Well, I don't know.
They're a Christian organization.
They're Christian. Their doctrine. They have doctrine.
Right.
So the LDS has doctrine too.
And they do, and they're going to start their own scouting group.
Gotcha.
They may have started the planning of this back when Boy Scouts compromised on letting gay leaders and scouts in.
Mm-hmm. Boy Scouts been compromising for about 5 years now.
They stood so firm for so many years.
I know, but the wrong people got in control of the Boy Scouts, and they just began to surrender on all the cultural issues, mm-hmm. and they no longer stand for anything, not even what boys are.
Yeah.
Anymore. So anyway, you're listening to today's issues. We got time for one more story.
Let's
Steve.
Do Can from you, the Snowflake Files.
Hey, Snowflake.
University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. This is hitting home hard for me because this is the school that my son attends.
Okay.
Is having a course in witnessing whiteness. It's an educational workshop series focusing on issues such as dominant white culture and cultural appropriation. The goal is to transform the current dominant form of white culture into an anti-racist white culture that regularly names and dismantles racist and white privilege.
Is that their mission statement?
That is their mission statement.
Wow. In other words, I don't know what all they said right there, but I could sense they don't like me.
Yeah, they probably would have a problem. Unless you say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for being born?
For just about everything that you and your white privileged ancestors have ever done, I guess.
I'm not privileged on everything.
Characteristics of white culture,
I'll tell you
they
that
say.
Right now, I could use some more money, for example.
The leader of the program says characteristics of white culture which they want to get rid of are individualism, consumerism, meritocracy as an ideal, superficiality, competition,
right.
Ambition, and productivity.
Stop right there. Stop
they
right
want to
there.
Get rid of all that
Stop
stuff.
Stop right there. I want Walker to tell me what meritocracy means.
Meritocracy?
I guess it
that
means
too.
Marriage. Am I right?
No, meritocracy means that you get something by being by earning it, by merit.
Oh, okay. I was way
Why
off.
Didn't they
you deserve
it.
It
by merit.
You got to be fancy with
you,
it.
You have to earn it. You have to be it's the
and what's it called, Steve?
Meritocracy, and it's the opposite of everybody being a cheerleader.
Oh, gotcha.
Those that deserve to be recognized should be recognized.
Yeah.
That's bad.
All right. Well, that was our big word for the day right there.
There you go.
Thank you, Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure.
For your contributions to this program. Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley for being our producer. Fred Jackson contributed to this program. Evan Tagliano did not. And we shall see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.